So we're doing the Rif on Megillah. We're up to the beginning of the third chapter. Bnei Ha'ir, the people of the city, Shemachu Rechova Shelir, they sold the city center, which we're going to see has a certain amount of holiness. And the topic of discussion here is when you sell something that has a certain amount of holiness, what do you do with the money? So the city center was a place where Rechova Shelir is where they would daven sometimes, like on a Yom Tzom. And so now they sold this, and it has a certain amount of holiness. So what do you do with the money? Lokachin bedamav betakneset. You have to move up. Malim bakodesh is the rule. You always have to get something holier than now. Right? Holier than the thing you've sold. So, if they sold the city square, so to speak, the main street where they used to sometimes daven in time of fast, it has a certain amount of holiness, then you have to purchase with that money something that's holier, as in a Bet HaKneset, a shul. Bet HaKneset, if they sold a shul, lokhin teiva. So you take something holier, such as the ark. Teivat, you sold that, lochin mitpachot, and you take something that's holier, and that is the mitpachot, the scarves that would come in direct contact with the Sefer Torah or with the Sfarim. Mitpachot, scarves, maybe it's the cover of the Sefer Torah, maybe.
You would sell a bit of Knesset to buy
mitpachot? Oh, no, but if you had to sell the shul, you were donated a much bigger, better shul. Now what do you do with the old shul? You sell it. What do you do with the money? Can't just take it.
So the
let's see. So far we're learning the Mishnah. We don't pass him from a Mishnah, that's for sure.
You can spend money that on the Beit Knesset from the ark.
Yeah. Money, you sold the Beit Knesset. You sold the Beit Knesset and now you have a shul. You have money from the shul you sold. What do you do with it? So the Mishnah says Lokhin mitpachot or Lokhin teva. That's true. It's an excellent point. Wait. We're learning Mishnah. Let's see as we go along. Says the Mishnah, mitpachot, what if they sold these scarves? Lokhin svarim. So they take books of Torah. Svarim, yeah. If they sold books of Torah, not Sefer Torah, books of Chamisha Chomshei Torah, of Navi, lokhin Torah, then they take a Torah. Aval, imacheru Torah, let's say they sold the Torah, loikhu svarim, with that money, you don't go down in holiness. You don't buy chumish. Sfarim lo ikhu mitpachot. Mitpachot lo ikhu teva. Teva lo ikhu bet hakneset. Bet hakneset lo ikhu tarechov. Vechen bimotrehen. Oto adin, same thing with the remainder money. Meaning, let's say you sold the shul and you bought something more holy with the money, but you have extra. You have excess money left over. Motrehen, the leftover. So, but there too, you don't use it for something less holy. So our Mishnah taught us two klalim. Ma'alim bakodesh, you're supposed to go up in holiness. Ve'en moridin, and you don't go down in holiness. Amar Rabba Bar Bar Chana, Amar Rabbi Yochanan. Zu divrei Rabbi Menachem, Rabbi Yossi stimta. Here we have the Mishnah, that was a Stam Mishnah. And we just learned in the Rambam, the Rambam's introduction to Mishnah, the very end of his introduction, the Rambam explained to us on Friday the concept of what is a Stam Mishnah. So this Mishnah is Stam like Rabbi Menachem and Rabbi Yossi. Aval Chachamim omrim, Rechov en bo mishum kudusha. The Chachamim say, there's no holiness in the city square. Rabbi Menachem and Rabbi Yossi, my taima. What's the reasoning behind Rabbi Menachem and Rabbi Yossi? Hoil va'am mitpalim bo betaniyot uve'ma'amadot, being that it is used as a square for prayer, so it does have a certain element of holiness, because on Atanis, when everyone has to gather, they do it in the city square. We leave the shul. It's one of the things we do in Atanit, like we learned in Mishnayot Tanit. In Ma'amadot, when everyone has to gather as representation of the Jewish people for the Korban Tamid, so then also we do it in the city square. V'rabanan ha'u akai be'almahu. Rabbanan say, that's something that's comes and goes. It's not a set thing, so that doesn't give it holiness. Just because you sometimes daven there, well, sometimes you daven in your living room too. The fact that people, we gather at a time of ta'anit, there's no set time we gather there. When you have a ta'anit, when you have a ma'amad, so then you gather there. It's not like we have a set action of holiness that's there with permanence. These are things that come and go twice a year, three times a year. So that's why Chachamim don't agree. They say the city square does not have holiness. Now, we know that usually Stam Mishnah is stronger than Chachamim. So here we're going
to... What is the Stam Mishnah
supposed to Chachamim?
What is the Stam Mishnah?
Stam Mishnah means that the Mishnah Rebbe sealed it this way. He said it plainly this way. And it has two strengths. It has the strength as though it were majority opinion, because he says it as though it were the majority opinion. And it has the strength that it's a Stam Mishnah. That's its own strength in its own right.
So, you say Stam Mishnah, it means that it's like Mashmauk Shuto, sort of? Or what is it?
Stam Mishnah means it was said plainly in the Mishnah. Rebbe and the Chachamim of his day all agreed that this is the general tradition, and we're going to seal it, and we're not going to say this in the name of so-and-so or the other one, even though this opinion was brought down, the last one who we know who said it was Rabbi Menachem Rabbi Yossi. Rebbe and his court agreed that this was the general tradition, so they didn't write it in his name, they wrote it as though it's a plain fact.
So the Stam Mishnah is as opposed to a Mishnah that is brought in somebody's name.
Correct. Okay. We said in the Mishnah, Bet HaKneset, if they sold a shul, I have a problem. I'd love to close this because I know you don't like it open. But this computer, for some reason, every time I close it, it goes haywire. So I can't close it all the way. But is this enough? Yeah, I don't know why. That's what happened before too.
Don't you have it in the control panel said that it's...
I tried. I said it not to do anything when I closed the lid, but it still goes haywire. You could took it. I've tried.
Stickers on it. I don't know if I can.
So back to Bet HaKneset, if they sold the shul, we said lochim teimach, so you take an ark. Amar Rav Shmuel ben Nachmani, Amar Rav Yochanan, lo shanu ala Bet HaKneset shel kfarim. This is only if it's a shul of a village. Avad b'shel kachin, but if it's a major city and they have a shul, kevan demal makatu le havya derabim, being that we say who davens in that shul? Not only the people of the city. Everyone comes into Midtown Manhattan. You have 5 million people commuting into Midtown Manhattan every day. So that shul isn't owned only by the Jews of Manhattan. It's used by everyone. Well, if it's used by everyone, then everyone has to agree to sell it. So if it's a shul of krachim, of big cities, kevan de me'al makah atula, being that people come to that shul from all over, from different places, havya de rabim, we consider it as a shul that's owned by the masses, ve'lo matzu mizamnidei, and you can't sell it. Because who owns it to sell it? Amar Rav Ashi, the high bekenishta de matamachsia, in the shul of the city matamachsia, apagav de malmaka today. Even though this is a shul that's really of a main city, and people come from all over to matamachsia and attend that shul, kevan de adaita didika tu, being that everyone knows I'm the chief rabbi of matamachsia. So even when they enter the shul, everyone assumes I'm the one running the show in the shul. So I'm the chief rabbi, and everyone knows I'm the chief rabbi. I'm a famous chief rabbi. So then, Ibaina Matzina Lizbuna, I could sell the shul. Technically, we say you have to ask everyone's opinion. Everyone has to agree. Because all the members, whose members? Members are all the people from all different communities who come to the city. So you could never get everyone's agreement. But if you have a chief rabbi that everyone knows he's the chief rabbi, and he's the rabbi who's making all the decisions in that city, so even though it's a main city, everyone who enters the city knows that they're under his reign, so to speak. So then he could call the shots and decide whether to sell the shul or not, because we say everyone trusts him, so to speak. Everyone relies on him and knows that he's going to call the shots. Amar Rav, lo shanu ela shelo machu shivat tuvei ha'ir b'ma'amad anshei ha'ir. Here we have another concept, the concept of shivat tuvei ha'ir. If we have the 7 good people of the city, you have 7 people, they're the board of the city. They're called the Shiva Tuvei Ha'ir, the Ma'amad Anshei Ha'ir. And they could gather the city people together, and when everyone's present, they could sell the shul. So our Mishnah was speaking in a case where they did not do that. Aval, but if they did do that, Machu Shiva Tuvei Ha'ir, if the 7 board members, the 7 good people of the city, sold the shul, the Ma'amad Anshei Ha'ir, even when the city people were present, you could even drink beer in it. meaning the all holiness can be removed from the shul. This concept that the holiness remains and you got to work your way up with the money, that's only a case where you don't really have the capacity to sell the shul completely. You have the capacity to exchange it for money. So we say, you got to treat the shul with a certain level of holiness, and you got to treat the money with a certain level of holiness. But if you have the board members and the whole city present, and you sell the shul, then the whole thing is different, which is part of what we do today. Let's see. Ravina Havelayahu Tala de Bekenishta Be'are. He had ruins of a shul in his land. Atale Kameid Ravashi. He came before Ravashi. So Ravina, we always find he's Ravashi's contemporary, but he seems to be like a student by Ravashi. He seems to be asking Ravashi questions throughout the Shas. Amale, so he said to Ravashi. So let's look.
First answer was Shapil Dami Ravina.
Huh? Shapil Dami, period. What?
These were the teachers of Rashi.
Rashi? Why Rashi?
Ravina and Ravashi.
Yeah. Were the last rabbis of the Talmud. They lived almost a millennium before Rashi. Half a millennium before
Rashi.
There are a few. Maybe.
You mentioned two names. Ravina and Rashi put the
Shas. They compiled the Shas, right. Rashi's Rabbeim. Rashi quotes Rabbi Meir. But it seems like Rashi only learned from him a little bit then. Who are Rashi's primary? Remember, Rabbeim, I don't remember. They say his father, Rav Yitzchak, was one of his Rabbeim. And I don't remember who he quotes in a few places, the different Rabbeim he learned by, but right now I'm drawing a blank. I don't remember who Rashi's Rabbeim were. Sorry.
For some reason, I thought you mentioned Rashi's in a previous
I think so. You mentioned the Rush, maybe. The Maharam Rutenberg. He was discussing who's the Riff, who was the Rush. So then we discussed it, but Rashi's Ravim, I don't remember discussing. I don't remember. Maybe then I remembered. Now I don't. It was only a week ago, but at my age that happens. Yeah.
So what is Shafir Dami?
It's good. Then it's okay. Afilu lemishte beishicha, even to drink beer there, Shapir Dami is good, it's okay.
Dami is also? Or Shapir Dami is like domeletov?
Shapir Dami, it is good, it's domeletov, okay, to markacha.
So, and then Rabbeinu Havale, who Tila, the Beikinishta, Tila is a ruin, right? So
right.
What is the beer of?
Beikinishta, a house of gathering. A shul is called Beikinishta.
At the Beikinishta is.
Bet Knesset. Knesset is also a gathering. Kinus. So Ravina had this ruined shul in his land. Ata lekamei de Ravashi. He came before Ravashi. Let's go over to the Bach. Amale maule mizra. You see the Bach, the little Aleph over here? The Bach on the side, little Aleph. Amale, he said to him, Mao le Mizra. What's the halacha? Can I plant there? Amale, so Ravashi told him, Zil Zavna Meshiva. Now we go back to the Rif. He told him, go purchase it from the 7 Tuvei Ha'il, the 7 good people of the city, the 7 board members. V'ma'amad Anshei Ha'il. And then you could plant it. Amar Rav Chisda said, "Lo listori nish beikenishta, adibani beikenishta achiti mishum pshiyuta." Rav Chisda said, "A person is not allowed to destroy a shul until he built the other shul, because we're worried that maybe he'll be posha, he'll end up not building the second shul. So you don't destroy one shul till you build the other shul." So I once had the good fortune of seeing Rav Deutsch in the Concord area in Muncie, when they rebuilt, they got funds. Name an area in Muncie. Concord is type of grape, right? So they called that area the Concord area. So over there, he had a shul by his house, and then they got funding to build a bigger shul, a nicer shul. So they maintained this halacha. What they do? They left their regular shul intact. And then outside the shul, you saw them building the frame for a much bigger shul. All around the old shul that was still intact. It must have been hard. They had to find someone who would be willing, an architect, to build that way. But at the end of the day, that's what they did. They maintained this halacha. They didn't destroy the old shul till the new shul was built enough that they could daven there. And then they completed building the new shul where the old shul had stood. But they didn't demolish it till they built the outside frame and as much as they could. I don't know beyond that, because then there was a frame. I couldn't see inside of the new shul.
So
no one says that it's only if there's no other shul in town?
Oh, so that's a discussion.
Is Rashi here commenting? Are you about to answer his question, or are you moving on?
No, not his question directly. Yeah.
Is Rashi here commenting on the riff, or the text here is just bringing what Rashi said on the original sense in the Gemara?
It's a very good question. So no one really knows. What we do know,
the riff is made up of sentences you said in the Gemara.
That the Rif chose and added here and there, right? Primarily, the Rif is sentences that he took out of the Gemara. Rashi on the Rif, we don't know exactly what it is. We don't know who put it here. It definitely wasn't Rashi, because Rashi preceded the Rif. So Rashi didn't write on the Rif.
No, the Rif, then he couldn't.
But he didn't comment on the Rif. That's for sure. But what seems to be is that when they took Rashi on the Rif, they took older manuscripts of Rashi, okay, because there are places where Rashi on the Rif is really Rashi, and Rashi on the Gemara is not Rashi. Like in Moed Katan. Moed Katan, the Rashi on the Gemara is not Rashi, what we have printed on the Gemara. Who is it is a good question. That's probably not Rashi.
It's a different and the Rashi, Nisuach than what you find,
right,
in the Gemara.
What you find quoted in the Rishonim and in the Beis Yosef, what they quoted as Rashi is different than what we have on the Gemara.
So maybe it's Rashi is just different, right?
Maybe, but what they say is that Rashi on the Rif is possibly an older version of Rashi. Let's just go a little bit further to finish this sugya. So the Rif continues quoting from a different Gemara in the chapter that begins with a Shutvin. This is only when you don't see cracks that the old shul is about to collapse on you. But if you see cracks that the shul is on its way to collapse, sat down, then you do break the old shul, uvanide, and you build a new shul. Ki had the Ravashi, like Ravashi had, I guess, in his city of Matamachsia. Yeah, chaza beit yua bebekenishta de Matamachsia. He saw cracks in the shul of Matamachsia. Satra, so then he demolished it, uvanide, and he rebuilt it. Velo apke de puya mina, and he didn't take his bed out of the shul.
His bed.
Puya is his bed. Aditakin la shufei. So they finished building the shul, and they put in the piping so that the rain doesn't fall into the shul. So Rav Ashi wanted to ensure people wouldn't be lazy about it. So he, the chief rabbi, used to sleep over there. He put his bed over there in the shul, and he said, I don't leave this place till the shul is completely built down to the piping.
So Mata is just a city. Mata is a place? Like,
yeah,
Makom?
But this city was called, right, Mata is a place, like Makom. So Matamachsia, that was their name. Like Pum Bedita. Bedita is a river. Pum is the opening of the river. And yet the city is called Pum Bedita, the opening of the river.
Wait, Bedita is a river?
Yeah. Okay. So we're making headway. Now you see, this is our chapter is focusing on all these halachot, such interesting and practical halachot.
Machsia means something in Arabic?
Machsia could mean... like lachsot, to take coverage, but I don't know.